Good evening, welcome. I'm Sean Brenham, Vice President of the State Board of Education. I call a June 16th regular meeting to order. It is 5 p.m. The meeting is open to the public in person in the conference room of the Colette Education Resource Building electronically via WebEx. State Board of Education published public meeting notice and meeting link on June 9th, 2022 on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues, as we will simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you are logged in via WebEx, please mute your microphone when you are not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. First opportunity, comment related to the regulations. The second is reserved for general public comment near the opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to this meeting. Those attending in person, sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, comment topic into the chat box now. This will help us to begin to create a list of individuals who would like to speak. Only participating via phone in which to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. We ask that members of the public utilize a chat box only to sign up for public comment or is aware of any technical difficulties. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Remember to announce your name as you reply to others or participate in an ongoing conversation. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if there are any state board members have questions. Please do not speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they are viewing. Taking a vote on an item, I will ask there is a motion and a second. We will then conduct a roll call vote. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of this meeting. Ms. Smith, can you please do a roll call?
Yes. Good evening, board members. Mr. Brittingham.
Here.
Ms. Farris. Ms. Pfeiffer.
Here.
Mr. Lofink.
Here.
Dr. Noble.
Here.
Reverend Powell.
Present.
Mr. Rushdan.
Present.
Ms. Sweeney. Ms. Turner.
Present.
Thank you. We do have quorum.
Thank you. I will note that we also had the following individuals participating in today's meeting: Secretary Mark Holodick and Deputy Attorney General Jennifer Singh. Need approval for the board's agenda was posted on June the 9th. Are there any changes to the agenda? If there's not, I seek a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented.
Lofink, so moved.
Wally Rushdan, second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. The May 19th regular meeting minutes were provided for the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? Is there a motion to approve the May 19th meeting minutes as presented?
Lofink, so moved.
Is there a second?
Wait for a second.
Mr. Chairman, I believe if it's appropriate, I need to recuse myself. I was not attending.
Yes, yes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Audrey Noble abstain.
Reverend Powell abstain.
Wally Rushdan abstain.
We have to approve next meeting.
No, we got four.
Okay, good.
Motion carries. Presentations. Office of the Assessment update. Next we have Teresa Bennett, Director, Office of Assessment, who will provide brief updates related to the assessments. Mrs. Shelby Ferris has joined our meeting. All righty, Teresa Bennett.
Hi, good evening.
Oh, okay. Great. Thank you for joining us. Can you head through this PowerPoint for us, please?
Absolutely. There we go. We're in presentation mode. I was having a little bit of trouble reading it, but it's all good now. So good evening, Teresa Bennett, Office of Assessment for the Delaware Department of Education. And thank you so much for your time this evening. I'm just here to just kind of give you some updates. I haven't been before you in a while, and just wanted to make sure the board was aware of what is in our current assessment system. So the slide that we're looking at right now are all of our state assessments. And I'd say that none of the assessments themselves have actually changed, but the structure of the assessments have changed. And that's what I'm going to give you some updates on this evening. So we can go ahead and move to the next slide. Thank you. So I did also want to tell you that a previous time that I was able to come before and have some of your time, I was telling you that for the past 5 years, we have been working to support a balanced system in Delaware. So instead of just having resources for our summative, we now have a robust system of formative and interim resources to support instruction year round. And we have that for each one of our assessments in the system. Okay, so here we go. Here are some changes that have been happening. So for our SAT, it's the assessment that we give to our high school students. And we have just gone from paper pencil, we've moved online, and I'll give you some more information about that in just a moment. For grades 3 through 8 ELA and math, last year we tried out a shorter blueprint for grades 3 through 8 ELA and math, and we decided to go ahead and continue with that next year. So we will be continuing with that. Our alternate assessment for ELA and math has moved to an instructionally embedded through assessment system. I'll be explaining more about that as well. And social studies, grades 4 through 8, is also moving to a through assessment system. So the next slides will give you some more in-depth information about that. So in 2021, we had 7 high schools. We had more that wanted to be part of this pilot, but we could only take 7 that wanted to try out SAT online, and it went over very well. So this past administration, spring 2022, we went statewide with everyone taking the SAT online. Previously, we only had 1 primary date to offer the assessment when it was paper pencil and 1 makeup date. And that was always a problem. It was the only assessment where we didn't have like a window of time to have more opportunities for kids to be able to test. So with the online assessment, we now have 7 primary dates and makeup dates. So the schools can choose to do, you know, sections of students to test over time. They can still do them all on one day and then have multiple makeup dates. They can choose whatever configuration that they like within those 7 days, and they're no longer constrained to just 1 primary date and then a makeup date that's like a couple weeks away. So that worked very well this year. They also have more flexible, I'm so sorry, I'll get back just 1 second. There you go. Thanks. This also gives them an opportunity for flexible start times, breaks, and locations. And the data is available much sooner as well. So we're excited about this change. It's also going to prepare us in 2024. You may have heard that College Board is going fully online with a new digital assessment, and we'll be ready to go when that happens. So our other assessment, our alternate assessment, which is for our students with significant cognitive disabilities, and it's the same grades that we test our general assessment in. So grades 3 through 8 for ELA and math, and 11th grade for ELA and math in high school. So this assessment is now offered throughout the year. So before, we just had end of year, and students take what's called a testlet. They're like 5 to 7 minutes long for ELA and math. And the teacher would give them all at the end of the year. And it was a set blueprint that they had to follow, and a set number of testlets that they had to give. Now that we've moved to an instructionally embedded model, we have a fall and spring window. Fall window runs from September through December, and then the spring window opens in February and runs through May. The teachers can choose when they want to give the testlets so that they can happen in time with instruction, and give them data in the moment to be able to make decisions with instruction that'll be happening, you know, like in the next few days. So it's much more timely. The teachers can choose when they want to give it. It's right in line with instruction, and they pretty much have the whole year. There's just a short downtime, pretty much the month of January, that's not open to them. And then they still get a summative score at the end. So we just had our very first year of that this past year. And we're going to be doing some work with our educators on how do we use all this data. And we're getting ready to have a focus group meet next week so we can find out how it worked out and what we can do to continue to support our teachers with this new model. Okay. And these are just the goals of having an instructionally embedded, provide more accurate representation of what students are doing. And it occurs throughout the year, so we don't have to wait till the end of the year. It supports connections directly to the instructional practices that are happening, and the teachers have a lot more flexibility in decision making. All right, so the next piece is our social studies assessment. It's going to be also a through year assessment, and we are moving to this model again to have an opportunity to have 3 shorter assessments throughout the year that are much more timely with units of instruction to give teachers immediate feedback. It's going to help evaluate the curriculum that they're using to teach the standards. It's going to provide students an opportunity to go deeper in the content. It's going to provide just-in-time data to the classroom teacher to provide information on instruction. It allows for shorter tests multiple times throughout the school year. So this past year, we field tested grade 8, and it went pretty well. It's really given everyone a chance to have more discussion around curriculum and instruction and best practices. And our social studies assessment at Associate and the one in curriculum have been working very tightly together on supporting our teachers as we move to this model. So you can go ahead to the next slide, please. Thank you. And this is our cycle. So we field tested a grade 8 last year. It will be operational this year. We're going to be field testing grades 4 and 6 next year, and then we'll field test grades 5 and 7 in 23-24, and then we'll be fully operational with the whole suite of assessments in school year 24-25. So the next steps for social studies, this is another one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this to you this evening, is that with a new social studies assessment, we will come back to have a discussion with you once we do standard setting. So once we set the cut scores and we do an alignment study, we'll come back and we'll share all that data with you and seek your approval for the cut scores for this new system. And that is quick in a nutshell. What's going on in assessment? Is there anything that I can answer for you this evening? Is there anything that you'd like more information about? And maybe I could come back another time. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Mrs. Bennett?
Yes, good evening. This is Wally Rushdan. This was actually very timely. I was very interested in the data and information that you provided. And one question that flows for me from the data is the, I'm very interested in this online SAT model. And the slides definitely talked about some additional modifications for the test takers to give them more time. But one of the features that I recall from the SAT experience was the experience of feeling a little bit of pressure. And I'm wondering, is that now, is there no time whatsoever affiliated with the, you know, the start to completion, or is there still some time element that they have associated?
Yes, that's a good question. Thank you. So the time for the student on the test has not changed. It's still a set time. They still take the test in one sitting. They can get breaks in between, but they still take it in like in one day. The time really gives the schools more time to be able to test the kids, so that if they, you know, scheduled that primary date before and they were missing students, they had a couple weeks to wait before they could do the makeup date. And if they still missed students, there was no opportunity for those students to be able to take it. So there's more opportunities in case students are not able to be there on, you know, a set test date. There's more opportunities for them to be able to take it. So clarification is the timing for the students has not changed. It gives the schools more time to spread it out a little bit.
That's helpful. And forgive me for this question has clearly changed over the years since I took the SAT. I remember writing as opposed to digital format. And it's got me thinking if that still was the case, how this online model may be for students who aren't typists in terms of the essay portion and what that experience may be. So is there any feedback on that?
Oh, the students are much happier that they now have a keyboard to type on. I will tell you that many of them, because we're not used to handwriting anymore, and the students take their performance tasks for writing for the grades 3 through 8 test, typing it all through the years, and then all of a sudden they've got to high school and they had to write it out and they were not happy about that. So I can say rest assured they are much happier right now.
I just revealed a generational issue with that question. So thank you.
Yes.
Teresa, I have a question. This is Audrey Noble. First of all, I'm glad to hear that the Schroeder blueprint is being, you're sticking with that. Does that actually translate to less time in testing, the Schroeder blueprint?
It actually does. The computer adaptive assessment is about half the time now.
Yeah. Okay, great. The other question I actually have, and maybe I just didn't catch this in your description, what actually is the difference between the instructionally embedded assessments and the through year model? I don't think I quite understood.
The consortia that we work with, Dynamic Learning Maps, they call it instructionally embedded. And I think it can be used interchangeably, instructionally embedded through year assessment. Okay. It's whenever you're giving shorter assessments throughout the year, it's overall, it's called, you know, a through year. And then the consortia calls theirs an instructionally embedded because it's okay. Embedded in instruction.
Right. So. Okay. And you said it, I read that the feedback in the fourth level there, the feedback is immediate. What does that mean? Like, does the scoring come back immediately?
It does. Yes.
Oh, that's terrific. That's
immediately
really
good right there in the system. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's a motivator for the kids too. I noticed when I was observing the NWEA model, that immediate feedback loop was really a positive thing for the students because then they knew exactly where their errors were and what they needed to focus on. So that's good.
And the same thing happens for our social studies assessment too. As soon as the kids take it, the data's there.
That's so great. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, I'm excited. We're evolving and
yes, we are.
It's a good direction to go in.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? Oh, yeah,
this is Reverend Powell. Can you hear me, Teresa?
I can hear you.
All right. Thank you so much for your time and your presentation. Let me ask you a question about this instrument as we lift it up to in the lens of an instrument that is culturally biased historically. How do we assure that these instruments, these actual tests are not biased in a cultural setting, regardless of, you know, what background the young people are? Is there any data or test or historical data that we do to make sure that these are tests that are level set?
I'm glad you asked that question because I don't get a chance to talk about this very often, but we have a bias and sensitivity committee. When we're creating a new assessment, it goes through a content review to make sure that the items actually are measuring what we intend them to measure against the standards. And we also take the items through a bias and sensitivity committee. And we have not had a lot of diversity on the committee, and not for the lack of trying, but we're trying even harder. We are connecting with others in the department to reach out to community members to be on that committee, because anyone can be on that committee. And we would like it to be as diverse as possible so we can get all, you know, for everyone an opportunity to take a look at what's on the test and give us feedback on that. But those are the two committees that all items go through for our assessment system. And this year, I'm really excited about the committees that are happening this summer, because we are already seeing the diversity in our groups change that are in our committees, because we have done just a lot more outreach. And if someone was not able to come be part of the committee, we've asked them to recommend someone else to come and be part of the committee. So all of you are invited. If you would like, I will share the dates, and you're invited to come and be on the bias and sensitivity committee. Take a look and see exactly what's on our assessments and give us feedback. Absolutely. And we also, on the other side of it, the creators, the developers, we have worked with our vendors to make sure that our developers are much more diverse as well on the creation side of it, so that we don't get to the bias and sensitivity committee and find out we've got to go back to square one. So.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you for sharing that context. As it relates to a regional or national perspective, do we hold our test up to those standards if we don't have the desired diversity at the table here in Delaware? Is there something that we can make sure that, you know, until we get to that point of diversity, that we can kind of make sure these instruments are performing with the design that they're intended to perform?
Yeah, absolutely. So we get statistics back when we field test the items. Once they go through content review, bias and sensitivity review, they then get field tested, and we get statistics back so we can find out how different populations of students respond to the assessment items. So we can see if they come out biased after the kids actually take them as well. So we have several layers that we use to take a look at our items before they ever make it onto an operational test. And I can also share that I am on a national committee that we are, we've been sharing a lot across states about where we are with this and what it looks like. So I feel like we're in pretty good shape with what we have in place, and we're moving in the right direction.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
This is Shelby Ferris. So I remember taking these tests or similar ones in my younger years in school. What is the data actually used for? I know we're told our scores at the end of the year or in the beginning of the next year, but we were never actually told what the scores were used for, besides like, oh, it tests where you are in like this subject. But like, what is it actually used for in the bigger picture?
Okay, so another great question. Boy, I'm going to talk about all kinds of good stuff tonight. So it's the only assessment that we have in the state that measures the end of grade level expectations for a grade. So, you know, assessments that you get throughout the year will measure where you are in that moment with what you've just learned. But this is a standardized assessment that measures across the state where kids are by the time they get to an end of a grade level, because all of our standards are end of grade level expectations for a student. So it lets us know how ready students are when they are moving to the next grade level. So that's one thing. It also allows the districts and the charters to evaluate their curriculum. If they see that there's a particular area where students are not doing well, then that's sort of the, you know, that compass point that says, well, let's take a look at our curriculum and see, is this in our curriculum? If it is, are teachers feeling, you know, confident teaching it? Have we done enough professional learning for them teaching this? So it gives them a compass point to start taking a look to see, is it in the curriculum? Are we teaching it? Are we teaching it well? Do our teachers need more support? Do we need more support in, you know, with resources? So that's a huge part of it when we're looking at, you know, let's remember this is, it's called a large scale assessment for a reason. It's to look at large groups of students so that we can make decisions around having, you know, really, you know, the best resources we can have for teaching. That's our curriculum, so we can have the best instruction happening for our students. And that we can make sure that our students are prepared for the next year that they're the next grade level that they're going into. So there's a lot of things that we use the data for. We would prefer that teachers, you know, that our schools, and I think they already do this, use the data they have at hand to look at individual students.
Thank you for your detailed answer.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Mrs. Bennett? All righty, well, I thank you, Mrs. Bennett, for your presentation. It was excellent, had some outstanding questions and great answers. And hang around if you want, or you can have a good evening.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Next is charter school updates and some more information. Kim Klein, Associate Secretary, Operations Support DOE, has indicated there are no updates for this meeting. However, we do have her online if there are any questions for her. Are there any questions for Mrs. Klein? Good evening, Mrs. Klein.
Hi there, everyone.
No questions for me, Mr. Leader.
Thank you. If there are no questions, we'll move on to the right. Thank you, Kim, for joining us. Appreciate your time. Next, we'll do regulations, Department of Education regulations for discussion or action. Regulation 915, James H. Groves High School. It is for action. I'd like to invite Mrs. Maureen Whelan and Mrs. Emily Cunningham from the Department of Education to present information on Regulation 915.
Would you like us to come up or can you hear us from here?
Pardon me.
You're good.
Emily Cunningham, Department of Education. On behalf of the department, we are here tonight to present Regulation 915, James H. Grove High School, for action. Pursuant to 14 Delaware Code Section 122B18, the Delaware Department of Education developed an amendment to 14 Delaware Administrative Code 915, James H. Groves High School. The regulation provides for the operation of the James H. Groves High School, an adult education high school. In June 2021, subsection 2.2 of the regulation was amended concerning the age of a student in the in-school credit program. The amendment specified it would be in effect until June 30th, 2022 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The department has determined the change should remain in effect for the 2022-2023 school year, and as a result, it has proposed to strike the date of June 20, 2022 from subsection 2.2. Notice of the proposed regulation was published in the Register of Regulations on May 1st, 2022. The department did not receive any written submittals concerning the proposed amendments. Maureen Whelan is here from the department and be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Are there any questions for either one of these ladies?
This is Audrey Noble. I have a question. But first for Ms. Cunningham. I'm assuming that this date change is all, and why it was done originally was about due to the pandemic. Is that correct?
It is.
Okay. Was there any discussion at that time about continuing this change permanently?
I'm going to ask Maureen to answer that one.
Yes.
Okay.
What ended up happening is that it was because of the COVID, but it was also, we wanted to use it as a pilot. We didn't want to use for a permanent change if it wasn't going to be helpful to the students. So what we did after the first year, and I think I had provided the board with information on that, is we found it was very successful.
Right. That's why I was wondering if there was any discussion about continuing this but longer term, since it did seem to have a real positive impact.
Exactly. So we're hoping to be able to, that's why we would take the date out, so we would be able to continue it on.
Right. But I'm actually meaning beyond 2023. Is there going to be a conversation about continuing,
yes,
continue to get positive results?
Yes.
Okay. I have to admit, I was never quite aware of everything you did at Groves until I thoroughly read this regulation, and it's quite impressive. I know this is a challenging group of students, and it looks like you're doing really good work with them. I just wanted to say that. So thank you.
Thank you. The students and the teachers are very committed to what it is that they're doing. And I do have to share, when I talked to my principals around this, they were really excited about how the parents got in contact with all of the in-school Grove teachers, because they have smaller classes and they have no thoughts about just calling up the parents and, or the parents calling them and asking how things are happening. So the students just feel like they, well, as a student, you could either think that's a whole lot more support, or that's a whole lot of more people on my back making sure I get through to the end of it. But the point is, the students get through to the end of it, and I think that's why we have a good success rate.
Are there any more questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve Regulation 915, James H. Grove High School, as presented.
No, thanks. So moved.
Need a second, please.
Wait for a second.
Have a second. Ms. Smith, please do the roll call.
Mr. Brittingham.
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Mr. Lofink.
Yes.
Dr. Noble.
Yes.
Reverend Powell.
Yes.
Mr. Rushdan.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Next, B, Professional Standards Board Regulations for discussion or action. I'd like to invite Dr. Linnea Bradshaw, Executive Director, Professional Standards Board, to present information on PSB regulations. First will be Regulation 1553, Driver Education and Traffic Safety Education. This will be for action. Dr. Bradshaw?
The Professional Standards Board seeks the consent of the State Board to amend Regulation 1553, Driver and Traffic Safety Education Teacher. This regulation underwent substantial amendment due to Mike Wagner's excellent efforts. We engaged stakeholders, the Office of Exceptional Children, as well as licensure and certification in seeking to amend the regulation. In the end, it was really mostly about updating coursework and making sure that available courses were things that were truly available and applicable to the certification. This regulation was published on May 1 and received no comments.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Dr. Bradshaw? If no questions, I entertain a motion to approve Regulation 1553, Driver Education and Traffic Safety Education Teacher, to be approved as presented.
No, thanks. So moved.
Need a second?
Wally Rushdan, second.
Mrs. Smith, please call roll.
Mr. Brigham?
Yes.
Ms. Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Mr. Lofink?
Yes.
Dr. Noble?
Yes.
We were not. Reverend Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Rushdan?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Mr. Brittingham?
Yes.
Might I introduce, just in case the board has not met Michael Wagner before? Mike works, of course, for the department and oversees driver's ed, does a great job. He was here tonight to answer any questions, but being that there were none, I just wanted to introduce you to Mike. He was also at our last meeting, so.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Holbeck, for introducing
him to me.
You said a while ago about it. Okay. Regulation 1551, Business Education Teacher.
If it pleases the board, I'd like to actually take 1551 and 1555 together because we did move them as a set and they are quite related.
Okay.
The board deliberated on both regulations for several months. At issue was why there was a standalone marketing certification when there are not standalone certifications for other business areas, and particularly finance. The three strands of business education are general business education, marketing, and finance within Delaware schools in the Academy of Business. And the board was really seeking to understand why if there was a marketing cert, there wasn't a finance cert, and then how that related to the STS certifications, because the majority of our business teachers come in through the skilled and technical science teacher pathway. And so not all schools even have business education, but those that do often have teachers that teach introductory courses in all three pathways, even though they might not have the correct certifications. And then the department provided research to the PSB that there were 19 teachers certified in marketing, and 11 of them were also certified in business or were also teaching business courses. And then after deliberating, the board tasked Dr. Lisa Wilson and myself with merging the business and marketing certifications. And so what is before you, 1551 business has been transformed into business, marketing, or finance education teacher. And so we had looked at the praxis tests, and there is, while I'm not certain of the history of the marketing education certification, it is possible that the only reason there is a standalone marketing education certification is because there is a marketing praxis and there's not a finance praxis. And so but the business praxis does cover all three areas, and so we are proposing that all of those areas go under Regulation 1551, and so that someone who is certified to teach business could also teach finance or marketing. We did realize that if someone is teaching very high level courses, perhaps in finance or accounting, they may need more, a better skill set to do that. And so Dr. Wilson did say that she would be working with schools to make sure that people had the necessary training to teach the courses that they are tasked with. But again, the majority of these teachers have STS certification to begin with. And so therefore, 1555, if you read the regulation, has been repealed, basically. So are there any questions from the board?
This is Audrey Noble. I just have a brief question. So there was not a separate finance praxis assessment?
No, there doesn't. A finance praxis does not exist.
Okay. So that probably is why it happened. Testing drives a lot of things. Good insight. I actually think it's much better. I actually sat in on your board's discussion about this, and that this movement makes a lot of sense to me too.
Yeah, I would like to comment if it's okay, Mr. President. I agree, Audrey, and Lynnae, I think the same could be said in regard to higher level classes that require greater content knowledge about probably all praxis content areas that, you know, whether it be the sciences, math, certainly social studies. If you're teaching an AP, AP World course, and you didn't have a whole lot of coursework in your undergrad studies, you know, you might have to do some, and as is expected of educators, right, that you have to sort of refresh or become better informed around a particular subject. So I'm comfortable with it, and I agree with Dr. Noble. I think this is a good move.
Thank you. Any more questions on regulation 1555 and 1551? All right, number four, regulation 1581, school reading specialist is for information.
School reading specialist regulation 1581 is currently published. I believe it is for the fourth time. An earlier version was published during the month of April deleted the course on teaching English learners. The board received 9 comments asking to reverse that decision, which the board did at its May meeting. Other than that, it is the same as the April version, which is different from the previous versions in that it strikes a neutral balance between the International Literacy Association standards and the International Dyslexia Association standards, allowing graduates of programs that are aligned to either set of standards to qualify for certification. I know I've presented this regulation to the board several times. Does anyone have any further questions?
Sure, Lynnae, I have another question. It's Audrey Noble. and it's just caught my eye, and I'm just wondering what the reasoning was behind this. And at 3.1, I noticed that you changed the language from the word educator to applicant. What was your thinking behind that?
So that is a standard change that we discussed internally at our PSB DOE meetings that we hold monthly. And we have decided that the word educator is for those who are current educators, and applicants are for those who are applying for certification, just to make a difference, just to
okay,
delineate makes, those two things.
Yeah, all right, that makes sense. All right, thank you.
Any more questions for Dr. Bradshaw? All right, and thank you. Thank you for your time tonight.